Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. My name is Junior. I am the co-owner of MMA Social Squad, and you can find us on Instagram. And today, I get the honor of being Timmy B's co-host. Before we start, please make sure that wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's on YouTube or Spotify, make sure you're smashing that like button. Make sure you're getting that subscribe button in, and make sure you're leaving us 5-star reviews. If you'd like to support us, make sure you check out middaysquares.com and use the our code FIGHTINSIGHT15 for 15% off. Now, our guest and our topics today, we talked to a really bad girl from Tough 30. We discussed the true goats of MMA. We call out weird callouts, and there's so much more. Tim, hit it.
All right, our guest today truly embodies her nickname, Yansa, the goddess of wind, lightning, magic, and fire. She's powerful, violent, and has an unpredictable nature. Spending the majority of her professional career under the Invicta lights, this MMA flyweight holds a 5-2 professional record and a 2-0 BKFC record, including a win, the only win over now champion Christine Faria. Most recently competing on Tough 30 as a part of Team Pena. People have been dying to see her back in the cage. And good news, you don't have to wait much longer. She returns to the cage on September 28th to face UFC veteran Pauliana Botello at Invicta 49. It's a fight you don't want to miss. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast.
Oh, I've always wanted to do this.
Junior.
Helen Iatsa Peralta.
Fuck yeah.
How's it going, Helen?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. We really appreciate you coming on. And first thing I gotta say, your nickname, very cool nickname. Where did you get the nickname from?
That nickname was given to me by my capoeira master. Capoeira is like, yeah, so I started doing capoeira. I wasn't very good at it, but like I was trying to win. I didn't understand the respect. And then you're trying to own the space without, it's almost like an argument with your body where you don't have to be violent to win. It requires a lot of skills to be able to do that. Instead, I'm the one going in there shouting pretty much with my body. And it was just always, I would always try to beat up everybody. And then one day our master, he stopped the ritual. He's like, you know what? I got a perfect name for you. And didn't that feel like a compliment at the moment because of all the chaos I was causing? But then when I started doing MMA and they asked me if I had a nickname, I figured you don't give yourself a nickname. You have to use one that's been given to you. So I decided to use my capoeira name.
That's awesome, Helen. You know what? I have a funny story. I was doing at my MMA gym, I was doing strength and conditioning classes with this guy, Jerem. He now runs a jiu-jitsu school in Bahamas, this lucky bugger. And he would always make us do these weird stretches at the end of class. And then as the weeks went on, suddenly like he would move one stretch into the next. And like we were flowing into these stretches. By the end of a couple months, we realized that he was teaching us capoeira. And so we started to do all these capoeira movements without us even knowing. Like we were rolling around the floor into stretches and stretches that we thought were like one off. It was the coolest thing. So do you still do capoeira now?
Well, I do a lot of movement training because I don't lift weights. So the thing with capoeira and the movement that it uses requires you to be strong, but not only on your bigger, like static looking muscles, but your stabilizing muscles where you get your balance from, you know? So I do a lot of that when I'm doing strength training. So it does look like capoeira. I do play capoeira music while I'm doing it, but I don't have any capoeira partners. So it's just me looking crazy at the gym.
That's okay. You're Helen Peralta, for goodness sakes. After you came off Tough, you know, people are probably going to know you most from Tough, maybe. A lot of the girls from that show, they seem to like buddy up and they became really good friends. Are you keeping in touch with anyone still from the show?
Yeah, I do talk to some of the girls. Juliana Miller, was the one that I got the closest with. She was just as crazy as I am. So our mental illnesses kind of match, and we got along really well. Nice. I also keep in touch with our coach, Juliana Pena. She's awesome. I got a chance to go up to Chicago and train with her and her team. And also with Hannah. Hannah's actually fighting on the card. I am fighting it on September 28th. So we'll probably warm up together before we go out there. And T. Pena is going to do it all over again.
Nice. Now, it's crazy that you're on this card here in Invicta. Hannah with you as well. And Caitlin Neal. We had Caitlin Neal on the podcast as well. It's crazy that Invicta was able to get all of you guys on the show. I was very mad that at the finale that you weren't fighting on the card in UFC. It's so weird. They had nobody from the show aside from the finale. Are you upset at that? Or did they explain to you why not?
They didn't have to. After I saw the way they edited the event, the producers and the editors didn't create any interest for any other fights in the house. They left all the storyline out. I don't know if it's because ESPN is owned by Disney. I don't understand why, but this was the way they butchered that show. It made it really hard for me to even watch all of it. I had to skip some of it. They made it so boring, but we were not boring. There was so much more going on in the house. There were so many other things that they could have used in that show. Shit, I even cut weight for a fight I didn't even have, just as a backup, just in case somebody missed weight, because I wanted to get back in there so badly. I taught so many free cooking classes to everybody in the house. I told them how to pour wine, you know, and there was like a lot of like fun TV worthy situations that were funny and annoying at the same time. They left it all out. How much I hated Brogan's laugh and how much it was driving me insane. It sounded like a drowning pterodactyl. It didn't sound like a real laugh. And I remember telling the producers, make sure you give the public some context so they know how annoying this bitch is. But they left all of that out, so they didn't create any interest for any other fights in the house, to be honest.
Well, okay, and I appreciate you saying all that stuff. We did have Laura Gallardo on the show, and she talked. You know, we talked about how you and her at least had some sort of spice on the show, right? There was a little bit there. I know you're mentioning some funny things that happened. I also heard an interesting story about how you weighed in that got cut.
Yeah.
feel the hesitation.
Do you want to say generally what happened?
Well, what happened was that I am the smallest person on that card. It wasn't just one fight a week. There was four fights in 1 week, and there was four women, and I'm the only one who's not cutting weight. Well, and Laura didn't have to cut that much weight, but then you have Caitlin and somebody else. The thing was that they used all the hot water. There wasn't that much hot water in the house. I don't have to cut weight because I had just fought. I kept my weight down because I thought I was supposed to fight the week before. It was a little bit of misunderstanding. So all I had to do is I had dinner the night before. I woke up half a pound over. I always weigh in with my fight shorts. I'm a fighter. I don't go out there in my lingerie like the chicks do. This is not my style. But when I put my bra on and my fight shorts on, I'm half a pound over. And nothing in the house is hot. Everything is cold. The bathtub wasn't working. The sauna never worked the whole time we were there. It was a mess as far as like the house itself. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I'm not going to stress about it. And I know that these girls come out always with these tiny little thingies that are just covering their nipples. I'm like, oh, I just have to censor the nipple. And then I'll be good to go. I don't have to worry about this. So I put tape over my nipples. I got on the scale and I came out and I told Kayla I was going to fuck her up. But apparently, like, you're not supposed to do that according to Disney. And then they had us redo the whole thing all over again. They killed my vibe. They killed my vibe with that. Because then I came out with fully clothed. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll bake you a cake. And then she was like, and I will eat it. I will eat that cake. Yeah. I'm like, whoa. Chill. Of course you will. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Helen, it is really weird the way that they do the show nowadays. It's not the same as when it first came out, when there were villains and there were more storylines to it. And like you're saying, I guess because they didn't create any storylines, maybe the fans wouldn't have cared so much about the fights. But I still feel like it would have been cool to have like you fighting on the card, or, you know, any of the other girls fighting on the card, or the guys. Invicta, though, shout out to Invicta, steps up. And so now, I mean, very smartly of them, they've got Caitlin fighting Hannah Guy, like you said, and you're on the card, but I feel you have the best matchup because you're fighting a UFC veteran that is very well known in Pollyanna Botello. Mm-hmm. So that's a good fight to you. When did you find out you were getting that? And then how excited were you for that?
Well, I always tell, whenever I contact Chan and I tell her I'll fight anybody, but I would prefer if it's someone, you know, that's better than me because it makes it easier to train. You know, like if I fight someone and I don't feel like they're a threat, I get really nervous. It drives me insane. If I fight someone that's really good, I'm just excited the whole time. I can go harder when I'm training. And she said she would do what she could. But I told her, this doesn't mean I'm not going to turn anybody down. I would prefer if it is someone that's really, really good. You know, I like to put myself in matchups where you don't know who's going to win or you think I'm going to lose because I love proving people wrong. So I'm like, all right, that's what I want. And I think she, what's her name? My opponent, Botello, she just got caught from the
Botello,
UFC.
Pollyanna.
Yeah, Pollyanna.
Yeah.
She just got caught from the UFC. And I was like, this is perfect. The moment you mentioned the name, I'm like, I'm all in. I'm like, I'll fight anybody, but if you can get me this one, I'll be very happy.
No, that's great. That's it's a good matchup. Now, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pollyanna's going to be hungry because she's coming off, I think, three losses. I think she lost four.
I have
the last
some
UFC.
Knuckle that's... sandwiches for her. She's gonna be hungry
to feed her
sandwich. Yeah.
nice so it's gonna be a great fight. Now Invicta, you've been with Invicta for most of your professional career, which is fantastic. We've always heard great things about Shannon on this podcast. People always talk so highly of her that she's very much for the fighters, lets you go off and do your thing, like if you need to go to another promotion and fight. So what is your future after you beat Pollyanna to bits? What's next for you?
I don't have a plan. I'm gonna take this fight like if it's my last one. So I'm hoping it goes at least two rounds because I want some footage to promote myself. I don't take my clothes off on social media. I need some other kind of content. So I want to be there for at least 10 minutes, and you know, producing some like cool stuff and you know, entertain the people. I believe I'm going to win the fight because, I mean, when you work as hard, I'm not being cocky. You know, when you work as hard as I work, it's really hard not to be confident. And I know sometimes people think I'm just being cocky, but I worked my ass off. I sparred six rounds before I got here. I needed to lay on the ground and remember like how to be normal. And then in an hour, I have to go back to the gym, teach a class. And then I have to do more like the sparring at night is more tailored towards like heavy grapplers. The sparring during the day is more like strikers with good grappling, but mostly like high level strikers. And, you know, you get beat up when you're striking. And then the grappling classes, you know, worst case scenario, somebody humps my legs for too long or whatever. But in the striking rounds, it's tough. So, you know, after that, I'm here talking to you. So it's like, I can't think about Pollyanna and be worried because I know what I just fucking did. And I'm about to go do that again in an hour and a half. So.
Nice. Helen. I don't see enough of you. Like, I'm so glad that we met this podcast. You know, I really appreciate you coming on because you kind of came on last minute when I was looking for someone, and I appreciate it so much. You're such a personality. You're such a character. Even if stupid UFC didn't have enough of you on the Tough Show, they should have realized like what kind of person you are, because like this kind of energy and personality would have shown like the minute they do interviews and things like that, right?
I believe so. I did a lot of interviews and with a lot of cool topics, you know, and I can't believe they left all of that out. The whole point of me going in this charade was because I wanted people to know who I am as a person, like outside of the ring. I do think I want to live in a house with seven other chicks sharing a fridge. I can't. I like things organized. Women's are super fucking messy, dude. So it's like, I didn't want to be there. I did it just so that they can use the footage to promote me. And instead, they edited me out from the very beginning, from the way in all the way to the end of the show. I'm surprised my name still shows up when you look up the season. Like, what are you doing?
No. It was weird. Can I ask, you've kind of mentioned it a few times, and we've talked about it on this podcast a lot. Actually, just a couple of weeks ago, I had Brian Bam Bam Barberena, UFC welterweight, and we were talking about it. There is a lot of stuff going on in terms of like the nudity stuff and the sexual stuff, right? you seem very opposed to it. Like, you don't think that that's a good vibe for professional women. Is that kind of where you're at on that?
No, I don't think I love to look at these chicks that go out there semi-naked with the guns out. I just don't think that as a fighter should be pushed back for not doing it. I'm part of the problem. I like all of their pictures. I don't have a problem with that. I just think that you shouldn't have to do that to promote yourself. That shouldn't be the norm. Like, for example, fighters that keep their clothes on, I have like 5 followers on social media. You know, people don't see beyond, you know, and I get it. It's a culture that's being created that is like that. But if the promoters were to promote certain fighters that don't show their ass on social media, because I have so many other things you can promote. I do cool shit all day long. Like, my whole life is fun. But they decide they're going to promote just the ones that are naked already because sex sells. And I won't pay for it because I look like this. I never had to. But I understand what they're doing.
So then that's interesting, though. Are you saying that you feel that promotions are very much looking for those girls that will do that?
Yes. Yes. I think that's the problem. I don't have a problem with the girls. I love it. Yes. Please keep doing it. I just have a problem with the promoters when they're like, when you have fighters that they don't behave in that manner, that doesn't mean that they cannot be promoted. There's other aspects of femininity that you can promote. It's just not the tits and the ass. And most of the tits are fake, but you know, you pay for them, they're yours. Whatever, you know, it's your thing. It looks good on pictures. It looks good on pictures, whatever, you know, but that shouldn't be the norm in order for you to promote certain fighters.
Yeah. Can I say, Helen, I really appreciate it. Do you know Janae Harding fights for Bellator? She's like Australian, tall
girl.
I'm
not sure.
Okay. Very, very pretty girl, great fighter. But her Instagram, and when we had her on the podcast, we talked about it. Her Instagram is all very professional. No nudity, no none of that stuff. It's just like, you know, very non-risque photos, I'll say. And when we spoke to her about it on the podcast, I said, are you doing that on purpose? Like, is that your thing? Like, you want to be like that? She goes, yeah. She goes, and like you, she said, I don't mind that everyone does it. That's just not me. And I'm being that way. And so I feel like I understand where you're coming from, like in the sense that, yeah, there's people that, yeah, I don't have to do that, but don't discourage me or don't not give me credit for who I am or the fighter that I am because I'm not putting that out there, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's great that women have that much power, you know, and I enjoy that we have that power, but it's just not my personality. Man, trust me, I know what I'm working with. I look great, but it's like, it's not my personality. I want little girls to know that you don't have to wave your ass around to get where you want to go. Yeah. That's always an option. That should be your backup plan. That should not be your go-to.
It requires
no skill. It should be a backup plan, not your go-to.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard to figure out how to pose, though, sometimes, Helen. So, I mean, there is some skill to it because, you know, they like...
You need to find a tacky fucking quote to go along with a picture of your titties hanging out.
Yeah. I'm sure it takes a long time. No, I get it, what you're saying, Helen. I appreciate you talking about that, though, because I'm going to have you on the podcast again and talk about this longer because I do really like this topic. I do want to ask you... how has the fan reaction been to you since being on the show? Did anything change for you?
Not really.
No?
I mean, not really. I have had some people contact me and say like, oh, I watched the show. You were the more interesting fighter there. I'm like, you're not wrong. Oh, I think you won your fight. I'm like, you're not wrong. But none of that counts. What matters is the narrative that they want to put out there. So I don't argue with people. I don't disagree with the decision either. You know, I had the skills to knock her out. I started to point fight. They gave it to her. I disagreed. But if she would have been unconscious, they could not have given it to her. So I'll take responsibility for that too. You know, it is what it is.
All right. And when you, I guess, Junior, is there anything that you wanted to ask Helen? Specifically?
No, I think you're hitting them. I think you're doing such a great job. I was super curious about your nickname, and I'm so glad that that's what we started off with.
No, that was good. Helen, in terms of BKFC, I said it in the intro, you're the only person to have ever beaten Christine Faria, who is now the dominant champion in BKFC. What are your thoughts or plans on ever going back there and just taking that title, Helen?
I made it public that I wanted to do it. Christine has that face that I love to punch. It's just we have like this interesting, you know, we're like, I don't know, we have this thing going on where I just love talking shit to her and I love fighting her. And it was such an amazing fight, you know?
It was a great fight.
I want to do it again. You know, when I get old and I show this fight to other people, they're going to be like, so did you guys do it again? And I'm like, no, we didn't, because the promoters wanted people that were flashing their tits at the end of their fights, and I didn't have tits, so we didn't have a rematch.
But I mean, as we said, Shannon Knapp with Invicta, I've heard that she's very good with letting you guys go and pursue other things. So I mean, if that came about, that BKFC said, all right, crap, Christine is beating the crap out of everybody here, we need some fresh blood, you would be the one that they should reach out to, because there's a story there to sell.
Yeah, they don't like me very much because I have to call them out on some stuff. But here's the thing. If they send me that contract tonight, I'll sign it.
Yeah. What
I want to see that fight. If they send me that contract tonight, I will sign it. I will fight Christine. If they don't want me to have the belt because they don't want me to do what I did before, get the belt and then leave. You know what? Let's do the fight at 127. That way there's no belt. You can keep your belt. I don't care. It means nothing when I beat her.
It means a lot to me, though. It means a lot to the fans. I mean, we want, because right now she's kind of like, she's dominating, right? Before I do let you go. Okay, wait, hold on. What were you kind of hinting at with BKFC there? They just don't like.
When I left, they pretty much told me like, oh, you have to fight this specific date. And I have to remind them that our contract had already expired because of all the postponement of this fight, and I never got a new contract, so I didn't have to do anything. I had an MMA fight that I had set up, and then after that fight, we can set up the Christine fight, and then I wanted more money, and they told me that, that's more than you got paid last time. I'm like, dude, you're about to drop $500,000 to pay some chick that doesn't even know how to fight based on social media followers. You can fucking pay me. They didn't like any of that. So I have a big mouth and I'm very smart. So I'm very good with contracts. I'm very good at handling that kind of stuff. Promoters don't like that. You work with one of the managers they're friends with so they can negotiate. No.
Helen,
and then after that, you know.
I'm hearing that.
No, wait. Hold on. We just talked about that on the podcast too, Helen, because Luke Rockhold made comments about managers that work for the UFC. I'm using air quotes for people that are only listening on audio. Luke Rockhold said, don't get a manager that works for the UFC. And then, of course, you know, people are like, well, none of the managers work for the UFC, blah, blah, blah. And when I heard that, I'm like, well, I don't know, Luke, like, aren't all managers supposed to be working for you? You're saying that you think you agree to that, that there's managers that maybe are too cushy-cushy?
Not only that, there's something about to come out in the discovery of the lawsuit against the UFC, where there's certain managers, they work for the UFC. They don't work for their clients. So they might have 20 people on their roster, and then the UFC can contact them with some emails where the UFC will be, for example, hey, I got 20 and 20 for this guy, Timmy. And then me as your manager go like, Timmy will take 10 and 10 because he needs the money. I'm becoming easy to work with and cheaper so I can get favors from my other guys that I'm trying to push. The guys that I really want to represent, the guys that I really think have a chance to go to the title and make me more money. So they're pretty much using people. But all promoters, they like to have these managers they have relationship with because that makes the contract signing and everything a lot easier for them because the way they negotiate it, they're not looking out for you. These managers want to look good. They want to have a good relationship with the promoters. Because they want to have that in. The fighters they can't advocate for themselves when everything is being done through emails behind your back. I want to know if I hire a manager, you fucking work for me. I want to know what's happening.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything that I do not understand. You have to explain to me everything and what it's coming from. And if it's someone I trust, I'll let him run with it. But I haven't found that yet.
So are you currently just manage yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Brian Bam Bam Barberena, he manages himself and has for most of his UFC career because he says, hey, I can just do this myself. But that's very interesting, Helen. I also don't like how you just negotiated me down from 20 and 20 to 10 to 10. What the hell?
I know, right? But you didn't know that because I did that behind your back. You would have never known that. And that's how these guys like to negotiate. You should never get a manager that works directly with the promotion you're trying to get into. Unless you have no skills and, you know, but because they're just going to try to use you for their benefit, you know, you know what? It's a win-win situation. I'm a prize fighter. So I'm here to fight for money. So yeah, I'll let you use me as long as I understand the terms. That's it. You don't even have to trick me into it. It's like with the Christine fight, if you don't feel like I should have the title, man, I don't even want the title. To me, I don't identify myself with things I acquired. People who do that are assholes. I just want to fight, you know? I'll fight at 127, 128. That way the title is not officially on the line. I can't win the title even if I win the fight. And then the fans get what they wanted, which is a real fight. And then you can keep promoting your only fine chicks all over. And I will watch because I love looking at them half naked. So it will be great. It's a win-win situation for everybody.
Helen, I wasn't going to ask this question, but I feel I should. And I don't even know that there's an answer. If you were not a fighter, Helen, what would you be doing in life? I feel like you're a born fighter. I don't know. Is there anything you would have done in life but fight?
Huh? I think I'll probably be like a hitman, but I will only target people. I will only target people who don't use their fucking blinkers. It drives me insane. Or people who throw garbage on the ground. Like that's what I will be doing. I'll be a vigilante.
Is there
I was just say that too. A revolutionary vigilante.
Yeah.
Like one of those ones that stands up on the top of the hood of the car that starts giving off speeches.
And Helen, man, this is such a pleasure. Helen, you are by far one of the most interesting interviews I've ever done. I mean, I would have had no clue that you had this kind of personality. And I really hope I mean, I to be fair, I wouldn't have known.
I find that as a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, Junior, it is crazy. And this is the utter shame of what happened with Tough this season, because we didn't get to see enough of people. And so that's why I'm so grateful to have people like yourself and Laura and Caitlin on the show, because at least we kind of got to meet them and understand who they were a little bit more. You're fighting on September 28th in Invicta 49. It's going to be a fantastic card. Are they having you wear your Tough jersey out?
No,
right?
I'm not promoting them for free. They didn't promote me, so fuck them.
All right. All
right. Right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Junior, before we let Helen go, is there anything that you want to ask or say to her before you let her go?
You are so raw. Like, you are so raw, and I absolutely love it. Like, I feel like you should walk around with a t-shirt that just says cut the BS like 24/7. Like that's the vibe I get off of you. So it's really refreshing to see people like you in MMA. We do get to see the really stereotypical stuff. So people like you that come through and just have this kind of intensity, I appreciate you. And it was really great talking to you.
Thank you.
You're amazing, yeah. Helen. Where can people find you if they do want to follow you and find you? Where should people be reaching out to you most?
This Instagram and Facebook, I check those often. I check that every like 2 hours when I'm free during the day. That's Helen Peralta on both. And I have a Twitter account. I started using it more, but I'm still a little confused with how it works. But I'm getting there.
Yeah,
somebody's helping me post stuff on there, and then like people share it or something, so retweet it. So I'm getting more familiar with that. So on Twitter, I'm Helen Peralta 123 because I was lazy. So that's my name now.
Nice. And I've got it on the ticker below. I think on Instagram, you're actually Helen_Ianza_ Peralta. Yeah. Okay. That's you there. So go find Helen there, follow her, support her in her journey and her, career and in all your fights. Helen, you are amazing. Congratulations on everything. Who is someone that you know that you think would be good for us to have on our podcast?
Someone interesting and exciting. You already got all the guys from the Tough season?
None. No, well, no guys. I only had Caitlin and Laura.
You haven't had Miller?
Juliana Miller?
You must have Juliana on there. She's really funny.
Yeah. Okay. Can you put in a good word for me?
Yeah, I will.
All right. Helen, kick ass. You are the absolute greatest. Before we let you go, is there anything that you'd like to say to fans, followers, friends, and new fans of yours as a result of this?
I just want to thank everybody that supports my career and follows along to my journey. It is a journey for me. I do not care about any title of any way, shape, or form. I will just fight anybody. And of course, that includes the champions. So titles will be involved, but it's not my goal. What I really want to be is a motivational speaker. I want to, you know, show people and teach them how to find the badass within themselves. And right now I'm just using myself as a guinea pig. I'm just collecting cool stories to go with it. And I appreciate everybody that follows me career. And, you know, those things that you do on social media, like and share, do those for me because I'm trying to be popular so that they will give me the bigger fights. And apparently skills don't matter. It's about followers and likes. So please go to my page and do all of that stuff that you're supposed to be doing. And that's pretty much it. Thank you so much.
Helen, you're the absolute greatest. All the best to you. Good luck on your fight. We will definitely be following you all the time. You're a friend of the podcast, and we'll always be a fan of yours. So thank you so much, Helen. And we'll talk to you again for sure.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Helen. All the best to you. Bye. Bye-bye. What? Junior, the greatest.
Cool. Very cool.
The greatest, like, unknown interview that we could have ever had, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we did something for her social. She's most deserving.
She is crazy. I love her. I love her. Her energy, her crazy. Yeah. Dude, the things she touched on too, I love it. Like, if you follow and watch this podcast, and if you're here because of Helen Peralta, thank you so much. Please follow and subscribe. Do all that. We talk about it a lot. Bam Bam and I were a couple of old souls talking the other day and saying, like, I don't really like the girl flashing her boobs, and I'm not too sure about the girl, like, twerking on stage. Like, that's seemingly how it's going, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for Helen to just come right out and say it and say, yeah, no, man, and to tell us that, hey, look, I'm not being promoted because I don't do that, that's harsh, man. Shit. I mean, it's reality.
That is the harsh reality. Yeah, yeah.
It's reality, right? Not gonna lie, one of the podcasts I did, when I put out that cover art that was just the girl twerking on it, that one got a lot of views, my friend. Because
that was the ultimate science project too. We wanted to see if that would work.
Yeah, because people see that kind of thing, and that's what they're gonna click on. Junior, thank you so much for co-hosting with me. For people that don't realize, I mean, you should know if you're regular on the show, but MMA Social Squad, that's this guy. So this is the guy that does the art. Right? Like, so tell us quickly, how did you get started with MMA Social Squad?
Me and a co-host, Rich, we just loved MMA. We watch it all the time. And I think during COVID, the idea of just having something to, you know, occupy our time, but also show our passion for the sport, was truly needed. And then we came up with the Instagram idea. And nice. So we were doing that for like quite a bit, just doing like the content stuff. But as some of you might know, there's a lot of MMM pages out there in the world. A lot of them are just about reporting news or reposting news. And so because of that, we were venturing to see how do we keep every post unique. Like completely unique, completely something you haven't seen on somebody else's page before. And that's what MMA Social Squad is right now.
Yeah, man, because you guys are doing like unique and creative art for the most part, right? Doing posters for fighters, doing very unique like stats or breakdowns of fighters. And I love it. And, you know, you and I have been friends for, what, I guess, a couple years now, right? Like, it's been a while now.
Yeah, I would say you're definitely one of my day ones. Like, yeah. When I started this venture, I probably met you like a month after.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say, man, kudos to you because you're sticking to your guns and doing, like, unique stuff. I like to think that that's the same as me. Like, I do unique things. There's MMA_gains, which is one of the pages that we both follow that I love because they just do the data. Right.
Yeah.
You know, they do unique stuff. We don't get the most followers. We don't get the most thing, but at least we're putting out quality stuff that, well, in our opinion, it's quality stuff, but that it's unique. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Right. It's your unique art. It's your unique take on things. MMA Gains does their unique thing. And I like that, man. So congratulations to you. Keep kicking ass with that, man. And I appreciate all the help you do. I appreciate all the help you do for me, man. It is very beneficial for me too. Let's see, if sponsors are your thing and you want healthy chocolate bars, if you're trying to get into shape and healthy, I see them at Walmart all the time and people are buying them by the boatload because I continually see midday squares. You'll see it like where they've got the kombucha and like the healthy smoothies. It's like these little chocolate bars you'll see. That's what I'm selling. Well, not selling, but that's what you can buy through us. Go to middaysquares.com and use code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15%. You will not regret it. Like, they are so good, man. And they keep you satiated throughout the day. You don't snack on junk, all that. Friends of the podcast update. So there's a couple things, I guess, that we should talk about. One is that for the same card that Helen is going to be on, our friend of the podcast, Caitlin Neal, who fought Helen on Tough 30, she's fighting, and she's fighting Hannah Guy, who was one of the teammates of Helen. And here is the fight poster for that fight card. I'll stick that up on the screen as well. So there is Caitlin Neal versus Hannah Guy. And then, of course, like our friend of the podcast that was on this podcast today, there is the Helen Peralta versus Botello. So that is Wednesday, September 28th. That's going to be a week from the day that this podcast is released. Be sure to watch this card. Invicta, do you watch Invicta, Junior?
Not as much as I should. And no. I was about to say, it's so smart of Invicta to have so many of the tough fighters on one card. Like,
it's genius. I don't
know. Yeah. It's like, really smart. I feel like the UFC dropped the ball on that one. Because really? You're absolutely right. I remember when we used to have tough finales, you probably see half of the house still on that card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like on this season of Tough 30, there were some good fighters, man. There were some people that were interesting, like maybe not personality interesting, although I think they were. But they were good-looking people, good fighters from the skills that they showed on the show. Not one of them got a fight, which is insane. Because here's the kicker. You can go on goddamn Dana White Contender Series, win one fight in good fashion, and get on. These girls and guys are on the show for 6 weeks, living in a house with no internet, no family. Some of them, as we know, they miss the passing of a relative while they're in the house. You know what I mean? Like, crazy stuff. They win one fight, maybe two fights, and they still don't get, you know, even one fight on a card in UFC. That's a shame, man. It's a
real shame.
Like when Helen was saying, like, kind of like, I'm not going to promote me. You didn't promote you. Fuck you, UFC kind of thing. I'm like, I can see it, dude. I can see it because it's tough, man. Like these girls were busting their ass. And remember, you know, like Caitlin Neal, if you don't follow Caitlin Neal, I would follow her. She's got a very good Instagram. It's not overly sexual or anything. Like she's a influencer pre the Tough show. Like she does a lot of stuff, like selling gym clothes and supplements. She has her companies and things like that we talked about on the show. But you know, she was because remember the show ended and then it started to air, so she's got to sit there and pretend like she doesn't know whether she won or lost.
So
they're busting their ass promoting the show every week and doing viewing parties and all that crap leading up to the finale, and then to know that they don't even get a fight?
Like, that's kind of weird. Yeah. it's beyond weird.
Yeah, you've got 12 fighters essentially sitting there promoting the shit out of your show, being stars of your show, and then getting essentially nothing in return. I mean, kind of.
When Helen was saying that, you know, she was hoping to get all this footage, like, you would think, like, as a you know, as a going away gift bag, they maybe give you all of the footage of you so that you could use it at your disposal. Like, here are all of your candid clips and whatnot. Like, at least, like, I'd assume Helen was hoping for some form of promotional material, something that was like, hey, look at me. Like, this is what I do, and this is what I got to do and in a professional setting. You know, she didn't even get that. Like,
no,
give the video editor scraps away. Like, you don't.
You know, I think probably one of the things too is that, and then because she came on as a last minute guest for me, I didn't do my normal thing where I like find a bunch of video clips and make a cool reel for her. But I'm gonna do that. By the time this podcast come out, I'm gonna go watch Tough again, watch her fights, maybe get some clips and maybe try to put something together for her. Because I just used one of her own videos for when I was promoting her for this podcast before we filmed. So I'm going to try and do one for her as well. Maybe you can do one too, man. You've got the skills.
Oh, yeah. No, she's definitely getting the Neon Throne treatment.
Because it's crazy, man. Like, she deserves it. God damn. I'm on such a high, Junior, because she was so freaking cool. She's so cool. That's I love it. Guys, the podcast is now on the RageWorks podcast network. So you can go to RageWorksNetwork.com. It's a network in the US where it's a bunch of podcasts come together. So we're happy to be as part of that network. I know that we're getting lots of views and followers from them as well. So welcome to anybody that's finding us through there. And if you want other cool podcasts like this one, go to RageWorksNetwork.com and you'll find a bunch of podcasts there. Junior, let's get to a couple of topics. Yeah. This one here, let's go to this one with Mighty Mouse. What do you got on this? This is Joe Rogan was saying they don't talk about him in reference to Mighty Mouse Demetrius Johnson. They said they don't talk about him. They don't bring him up. It's just really weird when they play The Who inside arenas. They have that music and they have the compilation. How the fuck do you not have Mighty Mouse in that? And so what he's talking about is when they show, I guess, like a montage of all the greats, they don't put Mighty Mouse on it. Thoughts and comments, Junior.
Yeah, I know Joe Rogan is a huge Mighty Mouse fan. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was number one on Joe Rogan's GOAT list.
Yeah.
I completely understand that. I know during Mighty Mouse's career, the concern was that, you know, he was a little bit boring get into the decision. But then when you really look at his record, he's knocking people out. He's submitting people. He came out with the Mighty Whiz Bar. Like, I don't know how that doesn't make it into the montage. So 100% agree. I don't know how he's not on anyone's top five GOAT list. That's kind of nuts to me. And maybe UFC is just downplaying the regret of trading Mighty Mouse for Ben Askren.
Okay. Counter argument. I agree. Mighty Mouse is on my Mount Rushmore of MMA greats for sure. I think the reason why he's not on the montage, and I am okay with this, is because he is an active competitor in another organization, being ONE FC. And I think because he's their Grand Prix winner, because he's their champion, I think I am okay with you leaving him out of it for now. And when he retires, or when he, you know, stops, well, I guess, yeah, when he retires, or if he were to ever come back to UFC, then you put him in. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's kind of okay for you to not put him on your videos in an arena where everybody's watching, because then you're just kind of promoting ONE FC. What do you think about that angle?
When you take it from that angle, then yeah, that would make sense. I always thought the sentiment of that video, and maybe that's why Joe is a little, let's call it salty about it, is because that video is supposed to show like the amazing essence of the UFC, like all of the people who have touched the sport and have made it fantastic. So yep. I get it. If Dana's seen this as a, I don't want to promote another league, then sure, that makes sense. But if the video is really meant to be a montage about all the people who really made the UFC great, I don't know how Mighty Mouse isn't on that.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, though, I think they do put him in. I just think they put him in after he's done his ONE FC career.
For sure. If there, and it could be a legal issue, usage of image or of a person's image. And
yeah,
maybe that's being governed by ONE FC. So UFC doesn't want to, you know, step over any toes, but okay. It's all about what it was meant to be.
And just so you know, you made mention about him being kind of a boring fight. I did run the stats before. It seems like I knew you were going to say this, or that you set me up, but Mighty Mouse had zero finishes in his four fights where he was not champion with the UFC. Once he held the title, he had 11 defenses of all his wins. He finished eight of them for a 73% finishing rate. So he was finishing, man. I think a lot of people think he wasn't finishing fights or that he was boring. No, he was finishing dudes at a high rate. I believe the only champion to have a better finishing rate than him was Anderson Silva at 80%. And Anderson is like by far, we feel like a GOAT, right? Like not even, no question. So interesting. One last thing I'll say about Mighty Mouse and the trade. Do you think that trading Mighty Mouse made the flyweight division what it is now? Get rid of this guy who's the goddamn greatest, and now let people like Moreno, Figgy, Kai Kara France make the division look more competitive? Because I posted a post saying, could Dimitri, how would DJ do against the current UFC flyweights? And it is unanimous. He will murder all of them in one night. Like, nobody gives the top 10 a chance. You know, they're like, yeah. Well, maybe Moreno could make it three rounds. You know, like, that's what people feel. So, I mean, maybe by trading him, they did a good thing, because when did we ever really care about the flyweight division before Mighty Mouse was gone? And it's like a chicken and the egg thing. Like, I don't know if it's because these guys are amazing, or it's because now that DJ's gone, in comparison, the division looks interesting.
It's an interesting take. But then I guess the next question on top of that is, like, so it was Cejudo who took the belt from DJ.
Yeah.
And Cejudo, yeah. And then he became double champ. So I think the hype around him and the mere fact that he was a flyweight is what rejuvenated that division. Because I think... You know what? I think you might be onto something. If DJ was still here, it probably would have been like, they would probably would have fought each other like 6 or 7 times. They probably would have held the top of that division until Figgy and Moreno showed in. But then you've kind of seen it in the kind of divisions right now where the top fives are just fighting each other over and over and over again.
Right.
Everyone seems to have a trilogy. So yeah, I feel like DJ's fight IQ would have kept them in that spot. Like forever.
And then we'd be complaining that the flyweights are boring. Similar, and again, this relates to our guest Helen, but here's something. I haven't posted this yet on my Instagram because I don't know that I want to get blocked by everybody. Oops, there's a banner here. Do we just trade away Valentina? If I trade away Valentina, does the flyweight division get a lot better? Do we suddenly then have a lot more interesting fights where we don't have a champion just murdering everybody at will? Thoughts, comments?
See, okay, so that's a really interesting question, and I guess it comes down to your preference. Do you like it when the belt keeps changing from person to person to person, or do you like it when somebody comes in and kind of owns the game for a while? For me, I kind of like the latter. I like seeing why you are truly going to be one of the best of all time. And for that sake, I don't trade Valentina. I just wait for someone to kick her ass or she retires. But if you're someone who likes, if you like the chaos and you like the belts being switched over and over again, then absolutely, you let her go. You free her up and you let... Because honestly, in the division right now, I don't think anyone's keep that belt for too long. If you see the current top 10, I feel like it's going to get tossed around quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because I don't know. I guess my thing is, the reason why I don't like when someone holds it for so long, or let me put it this way. I don't like when it's Valentina because she's unbeatable. And like... And I guess, like, I never would buy a pay-per-view with Valentina as the main event because I'm like, well, I know she's going to win. Like, it is a foregone conclusion. If you were holding the belt in close fights and it was like, holy shit, this contender, like, this person's going to do it. Like, and if the odds were always like, you know, 1-1 or 1.5, you know what I mean? Like, if it was like +130 or something, okay, fine. But like... When it's like, what is a Valentina odds? Like +1,000,000? Like it's like...
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah, like it's like it's too much. So yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens with that. I mean, it's not like they're going to trade Valentina, but...
Yeah. And my answer is probably very biased because I love Valentina. I'd be so sad if she left. Yeah. So.
Yeah, who doesn't love Valentina? I mean, she's amazing. All right, next... topic. This is something that you wanted to talk about. You wanted to talk about making the right call. And by call, we mean call out So here's something that you had, and this was from at AJMMA, or this is who we got this post from. Armin Sarukian says, I want to fight Patty Pimblett. I think you had a great start, but now it's time to move up a level. And so your problem with this was what?
Not necessarily a problem, but more of a curiosity, if it ever makes sense to call out someone who's below you on the rankings. For your career or for whatever it needs to get you to the next step, like, does it make sense to fight someone who's below your rankings? So I was really curious to see what you thought about that one. I know I have my opinions on it for sure.
Wait, what division are we talking about here? He's in what?
I believe. I mean, they're both in lightweight.
He's heavyweight now, technically.
Technically. So clever.
Patty the fatty. Armin Sarukian is ranked number 10. And on the current UFC rankings, I don't think Patty's even ranked. So
Patty's still not ranked? Okay.
Yeah, he's not top 15, that's for sure, as per now. Now, mind you, there's no champion, so Charles kind of bumps everyone down a spot. Mm-hmm. But so there's Sarukian is number 10. He's followed by Conor McGregor, which is so stupid. Get him out of there. Demir Ismagulov. I could have bumped into him at the mall. I wouldn't know who that is. Jalen Turner, the Tarantula, love that dude. Dan Hooker, get him off of these rankings. Tony Ferguson, get him off of these rankings. So, okay, maybe Patty should be 15, 14, somewhere around there.
Okay.
But so you're saying number 10, why the hell are you calling out a unranked Patty Pimblett?
I could see the reasons for it, but I'd love to get the Tim opinion on this one.
Yeah, I say do it. I think you call him out because, first of all, rankings mean nothing, right? Like, who gives a crap up with the rank? The rankings don't mean anything when it comes to title shots, when it comes to anything. Like, rankings don't mean anything. The fact that Conor McGregor is ranked number 11 is insanity. Like, he shouldn't, like, the rankings are so stupid. Then you see what happened with Patty in England when he fought and, like, they turned the lights out for him. The crowd, the crowd is insanity. I don't think that's because they were in England either. I think you put Patty anywhere around the world now and you black out the lights for him. He was third on the main card and they blacked out the lights for him. I don't even think they did it for the main event fighters. You know what I mean? Like, they treat him like a friggin' superstar champion. So if you're Sarukian, and again, I could have bumped into Sarukian at the mall and I don't know that I would recognize him. I think he's got to make a name for himself. And so, yeah, I think you call out Patty, especially if you think you can beat Patty now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think you can beat Patty before he starts, well, he's so hyped on himself, God. But before he even gets better and better, like, the kid's going to grow and grow and grow and get better and better. So you call him out, you take him out, and you make a name for yourself, right? I don't know. I'm not against it. And look, kill or be killed. Because if he ends up calling you out, you're going to fight him anyways. And then if you lose to him now or then, you're going to lose your spot. You're going to lose your ranking. So, you know, Sarukian gets a nice main event status maybe on a fight night against a Patty Pimblett.
Yeah.
Right? That would be good. I also think, I don't know. Yeah, I'm okay with it. Like, I just think about that's how I met Bam Bam Barbarina. Mm-hmm. God, like, 8 years ago is when he beat Sage Northcutt. You know,
okay, it was
an unknown dad bod Bam Bam Barbarena got put up against the friggin' hot shit Sage Northcutt, you know, and I didn't know who Bam Bam was, and Bam Bam goes out, beats the crap out of him, does his funny roll at the end. If you have Fight Pass and you have not watched that fight, go watch Bam Bam Barbarena versus Sage Northcutt and make sure you watch the whole thing. Crazy fight. And it was the next morning I was training, like, I was sparring, and I started doing the role like Bam Bam, and I sent it to him, and I sent it to him on Instagram, and he replied, and he was like, hey, thanks, man, blah blah. And then ever since then we've been friends, and now he's like a great friend.
That's
of the podcast.
Too cool.
That's too cool. Yeah, I don't know, I'm okay with it. So you're and you think what you think? Do it, call him out.
You know what, now that we've discussed the part of the rankings, I think Yeah, you're absolutely right. The rankings don't mean anything in regards to who you call out. It sucks that if you lose to this guy, your rankings going to drop. But at the same time, you call out another big name and it might just jump up all the same, because who knows the rhythm and rhyme to how the rankings work. But absolutely, at this stage of the game, you go for stardom. You go for the big fights, the turn the light out moments. And although I don't want to discredit Armin in this call out, but obviously, like, it was like, who wouldn't want to fight Connor? You know, like, yeah. You know, with the Connor name comes like the red panty night and everything associated to it. And now Patty's one of those names. So yeah. I think it actually makes sense to call him out. I think that makes perfect sense.
Let's do it. We are running out of time for the show. I had some other topics that I was thinking, but we've had some great conversation on some stuff. I'll just put up this, which I've had on my computer for forever, that I was going to talk about this, and I said Patty the Fatty. But here's TJ Dillashaw, who's fighting soon. But when he was talking about Patty, he said he's just loving diabetes. That's like a recipe for destroying your body. I guess there's one thing when I look at it, they can promote him the right way and do all this good stuff. And he's got some stuff to grow and get into the higher echelons of the UFC. But if you keep that same work ethic that he has now, he'll never be a champion. This is coming from the guy that took drugs his whole life. So good on you, TJ. but I will say, what do you think about his weight fluctuations, Patty?
As we come to want to be fit people and our knowledge about fitness expands, one of the things that I'm really starting to realize is that there are some outlier people out there who just have freak bodies, you know, like just do things that like you don't understand. Like I have skinny friends who would eat 6 combos at McDonald's, you know, like, it's just like no issue. They don't gain it. They don't know why it's happening and not happening for them. I'm like, until a doctor says, Patty, what you're doing is dangerous, I really do put him in that freak body. I give him that status. I give him a freak body status. Because, to a normal person, this isn't healthy. And I can't imagine being in the UFC doing unhealthy stuff. You know, I feel like there's just too much people around you to not let that happen. So I put him in a freak body status.
I mean the problem is, when he's doing that, this dude is never available for a short notice fight. Right? Yeah. Never available for that. I feel like it's bad for people that look up to him, because what he's doing, aside from the fact that he's a fighter, is essentially what you would call yo-yo dieting, right? And yo-yo dieting is known as weight cycling. It's the pattern of losing weight and gaining weight and then dieting again and again. And it's going up and down, right? I believe there are a ton of bad things to this. And so I just looked it up. There's 10, you know, bad things about yo-yo dieting. It does lead to more weight gain over time, which will be a problem for him, because he's got a long career ahead of him. And if he keeps doing this, and if the science is right, you know, he may not be able to lose it, and he's going to have to go up. Higher body fat percentage. It can lead to muscle loss. Fatty liver, that's one for sure. Increased risk of diabetes, which Pillashaw just talked about. Increased risk of heart disease. Increased blood pressure. It can cause frustration. Okay, well, that's a mental thing. Don't worry about that. Anyways. And prevents long-term lifestyle changes, blah, blah. Okay, so there are health concerns, fatty liver, health, heart disease, blah, blah, blah. Over time, gaining weight. Over time, bigger fat body percentage. I don't know, dude. He's got to stop that unless he wants to go up a weight class.
See, that's the thing. Like, you're absolutely right. But the level that Patty's on, I mean, like, let's just call it stardom. Stardom that he's on, I just have a really hard time believing that his trainers, like his physicians, his friends, like all of these people who have a responsibility to keep him healthy are saying, this is horrible for you. And he's saying, yeah, but I'm going to do it anyways. Because then there's something, there's an issue going on with Patty. The reason why I hinted at, hey, maybe it was a freak situation is because I feel like he's too much of a star, too much of an asset for the USC for people to let him kill himself, you know, and that there must be some exception, like there has to be, because then that's just really irresponsible, not only for him, but just everyone who's watching him do it.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying, you're saying not just the UFC's responsibility to take care of him, but like the people around you, right?
100%. Like, it's not an individual sport. You might see just one person in the ring at the end of the day, but there's just so many people attached to it. And right. So many people whose hype and excitement comes from your success. I can't imagine they're just saying, yeah, go on, enjoy diabetes, enjoy life. Like,
yeah, I mean, the problem is you're going to have people that are just yes men around you at some point as well, right? We've seen that with fighters, like with Mike Tyson. He was a big one that had that problem, right? When you get so large that you just have yes men around you, that can be the problem, right? And then, so unless you have real people around you that are helping you, you know, but that's it. I mean, hey, look, Patty, myself, MMA Social Squad, we're available for hire. We will be your true friends. We will walk around with you. We'll travel the world with you, and we'll, you know, we'll tell you what's good and bad. But I think you got to have those people around you, man. That's a good call out, actually, is that it's the people around you that if you're not looking out, similar to how Helen was saying, hey, look, if you're going to get a manager, it better be someone that friggin' looks out for your best interest. And again,
100%.
My buddy Bam Bam Barbarina, he's the same way. He goes, yeah, I don't have a manager. I don't need it, right? Like, and we talked about that before. And then Luke Rockhold, in his CTE-induced rages, right? He was saying, like, don't, these managers, blah, blah, blah. Like, When I read it, I thought he's crazy. But then now when I think about it more and I digest it, I'm like, ah, shit, this guy's onto something, man. And Helen was gang, like, all over that. Yeah. So,
yeah. Those corporate conspiracies, man.
Hey, if anyone loves a conspiracy, it's me, my friend. All right. So we didn't talk about any fights because I'm actually releasing this in a couple of weeks. So we're not really too sure how the fight cards are going to be. But we pray that Invicta 49 goes down as it is. And at least we get the Caitlin Neal versus Hannah Guy, that's a good fight. I am supporting my friend Caitlin Neal on that one because she was a friend of the podcast. She came on the podcast. She's a great person that we got to know. And then you've got the Helen Peralta versus Pollyanna Botello, and that is going to be a barn burner. Like I said, Botello's coming off quite a few losses, going back down to Invicta. No offense, but you know, going to Invicta, she's going to be hungry, and as Helen says, she's got a couple of knuckle sandwiches waiting for her. So Helen, kick ass,
I'm so excited. Do it up.
Dude, I'm the biggest goddamn Helen Peralta fan now.
I'm really hyped for her. Like, really, really, really hyped for her.
Yeah.
I hope nothing but good stuff comes her way.
Yeah, man. Buddy, before we end the podcast, is there anything that you want to say to people that maybe didn't know who the hell was the face behind MMA Social Squad?
First of all, thank you, followers. I know the algo has been pretty hard to battle with, but thank you guys. Thanks to anyone who's following me. Thanks to anyone who's following Fighting Site podcast. To be honest, the things that you guys are doing, like, I brag to you guys a lot. I brag to my friends about you guys a lot. I'm so happy that you know, we're coming from, you know, the true north and strong, you know, and it's really great to have that community. But other than that, man, actually, you know what? There is something. Content creators, especially the really original ones, the ones that, you know, put their heart and tears and their sweat into their work and are getting defeated right now, like, keep on it. Keep on it. Keep shining. Keep trying to be unique. I love it. And we all love it. And just because the tools are saying that it's not going your way, it's BS, man. Keep it up. Keep it up. And that's about it, Tim.
Wise words, my friend. You should video record that part that you just said and release that on your Instagram, because that is wise words, man. And here's the thing, dude. I have seen pages with double, triple the number of followers that I may have or that other people may have, but their engagement is less than mine or less than other people. Sometimes it's not the numbers of the followers, it's the quality, right? It's not the size that counts. That's what I've been told, Junior. Never have I been told. It's not the size that counts. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. So yeah, man, for the followers, and same as for this podcast, man, I love you guys. If you guys are following and watching these podcasts and stuff like that, I really greatly appreciate it. We're trying to do our best all the time. We're trying to create new stuff, good stuff. Next week on the podcast, shit, I forgot to say, next week on the podcast, I've got two people from celebrity boxing. I talked about it last week's podcast. One is the guy that Kylie Jenner took to the prom. He's a boxer. He's fighting, I think it's his second fight. And then the other guest, I've got two of them. One's going to be my co-host. One's going to be the guest, but we're all like, they're both from celebrity boxing. The other one is called, their name is Brady Bunch, fighting for the non-binary championship. Brady Bunch is a recording artist, like really popular, open for 6ix9ine, a whole bunch of stuff. Also was just featured on TMZ for calling out Caitlyn Jenner and wants to fight Caitlyn Jenner in the boxing ring. And so made headlines on TMZ, dude. And Brady Bunch will be on the podcast. So that's going to be pretty cool. So it's a couple of celebrity boxing people we're going to have on next week. So yeah, man, we're going all over the place with this thing, and we'll see what happens, man.
So cool, man.
Yeah, Junior, thank you so much, man. It's been a long time coming for you to be on the podcast. I really appreciate it, buddy. And I think we had some good topics. We had one of the best goddamn guests I've ever had. And
thanks.
Have a good one, man. Right around now, you're going to see some other things. Go check out our stuff. Oh, it's over. It's going to be over here. So, all right, man. Have a good one. Thank you so much for coming.
Take care, guys.
Don't turn off your computer. I'm going to